This is apartment 303.
Didn't they say 304? No, 303. I wrote it down twice.
Apartment 303, which I've definitely heard of.
Greetings, human beings, and welcome back to Apartment 303, a podcast for community fans. My name is Dave, and alongside my co-host Dan, we are here every month to discuss all things community, each and every layer of the show, and why we love it so much. On today's episode, we keep the hype train rolling full speed ahead as we take a deep dive into the latest news and speculation regarding the Community movie. That's right. This is real. This is happening, friends. The Community movie. I just said it. Joining us here today to do so in Apartment 303 is Ethan Anderton, senior writer from Slash Film and podcast host on his own right. And on top of Ethan, we've also got frequent friend of the podcast, Matt from Communities. Welcome aboard, everyone.
Hello.
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 Before we get too deep, before you too far deep into promoting your guys' stuff, Dan, I gotta always kick it to you first, my friend, my homie. What have you been up to? How have you been?
Things have been going well. I've been getting some more jobs around LA, which is kind of very exciting if you're someone like me and you're looking to break into that industry. But so that's been good, auditioning for things, going out for things, and work's been steady. So yeah, it's an exciting time. And then you have this news on top of it, which I got to wake up to. I had so many notifications. I'll do the lead just because you threw it to me, but we were already planning on having a movie speculation show. So the fact that we got this news about 3 days before we were set to record anyway was just mighty serendipitous. And it was very, I know we put out a show like earlier and you put out one 2 days ago. So now we get to do a full bore one that we already had planned. And that's, you know, couldn't be more excited to do that.
Well, I couldn't be more excited for the company. There's no way we could possibly make sure that we did all this without putting our feet in our mouths more than necessary, without having Matt here. You guys know Matt, the godfather of the community. Matt, I'm not saying the reason the movie got made was completely 100% on you, but you definitely played a large part in getting us to this point.
And
right?
And also, don't forget, Matt is the number one Buzz Hickey stan. So let's get that out of the way.
Both of those statements are wildly untrue. No, I don't think I'm anything in this other than a conduit. I mean, the fans were there. They just needed a connection. And so, you know, that's what we've done. We've helped connect people. And I'm just thrilled to be a part of that.
Our listeners are pretty familiar with the three of us, but I don't think that most of them are familiar with our final guest for today. So without any more ado, please welcome to the show our good friend, Ethan Anderton.
Hey, that's me.
Actually, someone whom I call Brad.
A lot of people do call me Brad, actually.
That's one of the first things I want to get to. So I want to see you up here. Tell us a little bit about what you do professionally and what the name thing's all about.
Yeah, so my name is Brad Oman, and I've known Dave for a long time, since our high school days when we would cruise around listening to Busta Rhymes and drinking lots of Mountain Dew. I have a pen name, which is Ethan Anderton, because I write for a website called slashfilm.com. Hopefully some of your listeners have heard of that site. It's a pretty nice one if you like reading about movies and TV shows. And so I started writing online back in 2009. I wrote for a site called firstshowing.net and started out doing it kind of as a hobby on the side while I was living in Los Angeles and having an internship at a company called Mosaic Media Group. It's a entertainment production and management company. It's run by this guy named Jimmy Miller, who has repped people like Jim Carrey and Will Ferrell, Sacha Baron Cohen. At one point, they produced stuff like Step Brothers, The Other Guys, Hot Rod, things like that.
Cool.
And so I interned there, and the hope at the time was this would complete my college degree, and I would stay out there and find a job and climb ladders and open up doors and stuff like that. But this was 2009, which I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a pretty bad economic downturn around that time. And a lot of people were laid off from studios and agencies, and they were taking jobs that should have gone to entry-level college students fresh out of school like me. So I was having a hard time finding any real jobs to stick around out there. And as you all know, I'm sure Dan knows, Los Angeles is pretty expensive. And so just couldn't afford it anymore and moved back home. But writing it for showing turned into a career gradually. I was doing it for free for a bit. Then it was part-time. Then it was full-time. Then I became the managing editor. And so over the years, I worked there, wrote about movies. And then I did some stuff for writing about TV at sites like Screen Rant and Collider. And then eventually I made my way to slashfilm.com, which was one of my favorite movie news websites when I was in college. Kept up with it all the time to just pay attention to movie and TV shows, because I've been just a big, you know, fan of filmmaking and TV making since I was a kid. And so if I wasn't going to be, you know, making movies or TV shows, then the next best thing was for me was always going to be writing about them. So since 2015, I've been at slashfilm.com. We recently got bought by a company called Static Media after being independently owned for the longest time. And so the site has been growing significantly since then. We have incredible resources and a much bigger team. And I'm now an editor as well as a writer there. And that's where I am now.
Huzzah.
Did we cover the name thing in there?
Oh, so yeah. So the reason I have that's of course perfect for me. Always too long-winded. And my name is Ethan Anderson for my pen name, because when I first started writing it for a showing, I was still doing the internship, and I didn't want my real name to be associated with anything potentially disparaging that I was saying about, you know, some studio's movie or some network's TV show, in case they would Google me and be like, "Oh, this guy doesn't like our show. Get him the hell out of here."
Brad's been trashing us, man. We're not gonna hire him.
So yeah, so and then by the time I was done, you know, trying to get jobs in LA and actually work in the industry that way, I already had kind of an online presence established, and so I just kept it and stuck with it. And so sometimes it's a fun conversation point, like now.
It's really interesting, and before you go on past that, Dave, and I've had similar thoughts as well. So when I was doing Ramble On About Movies for years, it was something that actually popped up into the thought of my mind later on, where it was like, sure, everyone's gonna have opinions on these, and it also changed my view a little bit, because it's like a lot of times, and we can all speak to this, where that space can be overwhelmingly negative, and there can be a lot of trolls in there as well. So
for sure,
in order to differentiate yourself and your opinion from where you're coming from, like, there's a difference between being critical and being mean. And I think you've been in this space long enough. You clearly know what that is. Everybody's like on this call knows what that is, but it's one of those things where it's like, I change because it's like, no, I want to be more of a part of that industry, and I don't want to be like, oh, that person didn't like this movie. Like, you, I understand exactly now why you said that, why you started off with a pen. I don't think you would need it now, but I can totally see and respect that.
Thanks.
So yes, unlike the three of us who do this, you know, as an amateur kind of fun side project, we do have a professional entertainment journalist joining us here just for some added credibility today.
Guys, what do we do? I don't know.
However, in addition, even though we are not on his level whatsoever, Brad is not just a writer and editor and all the stuff we talked about Slash Film. Brad, you have your own podcast as well. You host a weekly podcast. Tell us about Go Flix Yourself.
Yeah, Go Flix Yourself is a movie podcast that I started with my friend Ben Conowitz, who also lives here in my town of LaPorte, Indiana, which, you know, Dave is from. But yeah, so I have this podcast called Go Flix Yourself, and it was born out of my friend Ben and I. We used to love listening to Doug Loves Movies, which you haven't heard of that. It's a big movie podcast by Doug Benson, where he brings on different comedians and celebrity guests, and they talk about movies and play movie games. And we always wanted to play those movie games and just kind of have fun, you know, shooting the shit with each other and everything. So we decided to start our own podcast that was meant as like a tribute podcast that, but in the time that we started doing it, which was like years ago now, it kind of evolved, and we've turned it into our own thing where we have our own format. And so it's not just a copycat of that podcast any longer. So we've been doing that for years. We had like a hiatus during the like pandemic and stuff like that. For whatever reason, we're like the only ones who didn't use pandemic time to actually podcast more.
You were the only people who podcasted less.
Yeah. So we are back like on a regular schedule now. We release a new episode every week, typically overnight, Tuesday into Wednesday morning. And yeah, if you like movies, if you like, you know, it's a conversational, you know, podcast where we have fun tangents and do random bits, you know, whatever comes up. It's a very organic flow where we just talk about the most recent movies we've seen and a couple new trailers for movies that are coming up. And it's a lot of fun. It's available on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and all that jazz. And I will say, I also do have another podcast that I do with Ben, and also our new Go Flix Yourself co-host, Nate Laux, is also part of this other podcast. It's called the 10 to 1 podcast, And it is a podcast where we recap and review every new episode of Saturday Night Live. We started this last year at the beginning of the 47th season, and now we're doing it for the 48th season that just started this past weekend. So if you like Saturday Night Live and maybe you like what we do on Go Fix Yourself and you're looking for something like that, then check out the 10 to 1 podcast.
You sound like a very, very, very busy man, my friend. And I certainly think there's quite an overlap between fans of SNL, fans of Community, fans of movies, all of those substantial overlaps there. Speaking of which, I think we've established kind of your credentials here. And we haven't had too many guests. We've been doing this podcast almost 3 years. We haven't had many guests from outside of what we call the community, kind of like our own little bubble, right? People who are still actively engaged in community Twitter, still actively pushing for a movie. But that being said, we do want to try to connect on some community stuff. So do you want to tell us about your community experience, or is there a particular episode or bit that's a favorite of yours, or something that you always think about when it comes to community?
Yeah, I mean, I watched Community since the very beginning when it premiered, you know, not to be like the thing where I was there before it was cool, but I literally was, because I was actually
say that about like everything though.
I was what your life is. No, exactly. And honestly, it's because I was assigned covering the show and watching it to review when it first premiered. So like I watched the pilot early on. It was sent to me on disc of all things during this time. We weren't doing online screeners yet.
What are those?
I know, right? I watched it and I reviewed it over at Collider. I'm not sure if the review is still up, because they've gone through a lot of like site redesigns and changes and things like that. And since I haven't written there for like a decade now, I don't know if it's still up. But yeah, so I wrote about Community a lot over there, and the various sites that I wrote about TV. And it was something that, you know, I really loved. The ensemble cast is fantastic. And, you know, with Dan Harmon's writing, and you have, you know, an interesting array of directors as Guns for Hire coming through and directing all these episodes, there's a lot to love, because there's so much, you know, meta social commentary that comes from pop culture and parodying and paying tribute to movies and other TV shows and things like that. And all that stuff is just right in my wheelhouse. I love that kind of thing. And I'm a big Troy and Abed fan. I definitely love all the bits involving them. Their friendship is just hilarious. And because I'm a huge, you know, pop culture nerd, I definitely feel like I identify with Abed's stuff the most. And I think, you know, those characters are easily my favorite. But, you know, I love like a lot of the, you know, the episodes that everybody likes, you know, like Remedial Chaos Theory. You know, obviously the paintball episodes are always fantastic. But, you know, it's just the writing on that show was always so great, you know, except for the times that we know it wasn't. And but it's a great show. And I am very impressed at the, you know, the endurance of Community fans, and also, you know, Dan Harmon and the cast themselves, of never giving up on the possibility of this movie happening. Because there's times when like I would hear them talk and I'd be like, yeah, sure, we'll see. And so the fact that it's actually a reality now, and it's really turning into something tangible and real that's coming out, is very cool.
Yeah, Dan kind of tipped our hand. I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit more, because I think first brought up the idea of having you come on the show like over a year ago. And it was like, well, you know, you're an expert in this movie stuff, Red. And like, I've been running this community podcast. Like, surely we got to have you on the show. Well, what we talk about? We talk about the movie speculation, right? Because that's what it's all about. And so I pitched that to you several times over probably the course of a year, and all of that finally came to a head. And I was like, listen, we got to do it. Not even necessarily that I thought, you know, the heat was getting hotter. It was just, it was a matter of time, and we needed to make it happen. So like Dan said off the top, we actually planned on having you on as a guest and having a conversation about the what ifs. And we're still going to get to do a lot of that, honestly, because there is very little that we know. But before we do get to what we do know, I'm going to invite Matt in here. And what I'd like Matt to do is just take us a little bit through the journey of how we got from the end of the show to the announcement of the movie.
Oh, well, that's like, easy. Nothing happened from 2014.
Right, nothing happened.
Until a pandemic hit.
Non-general. No, but you've been following this as closely as anyone. if you go, you know, to the community's page, it links to a page where it's what, you know, you've been updating the what we know about the movie for a long period of time. So I feel like you are the right person to, like, to kind of speak to how we got here.
I feel like he should have a title. Like, we need to give Matt a title.
I've always called him the Godfather of
the Godfather's good, but he's like,
that is way too long at night.
And I don't have a little Vaseline to put on the camera to give it that kind of glow.
Look like you're in a soap opera. No,
yeah,
it's, but
yeah,
it's like
definitely
almost like a librarian, like an archivist.
The cinema dean.
There you go.
Okay, I like that. And also now I want a cinnamon bun. So
the chronicler for something like that.
No, but prior to 2020, it's just something that the fans wanted. And there was nothing there for us to hang on to other than the hashtag. And every time the cast was asked, they would reasonably say, of course I would like to do the movie. What we do know is Dan said repeatedly, 2016, 2017, when he was asked on Larry King's show, as well as other places, he was asked about the movie, and Dan's answer was always included two things. He's like, number one, I kind of need to get paid if I'm going to write a movie. And the other thing was, I can't write it in advance and then not get the cast back.
Yeah.
And when he said that, the only cast member that wouldn't do it is Donald. So
it was a hard no, you mean?
It was like, a hard no. And it was a hard no. What Donald was saying was, there are things in your life you just have to, they have a ending. Sure. And when you get to that ending, don't go back. And so there are regular interviews with Donald during this time period when he get asked about Community. He didn't get asked a lot now because, number one, it was his music career that was the big thing. And so they're not talking about television and his movie career. So, but when he did get asked, Donald was very clear he wasn't going back ever. And what Dan said, from my perspective, this has been my opinion, Dan was never going to do it without Donald. And he just couldn't write it without Donald. And he didn't want to, you know, he didn't know what the movie could be without him.
Well, wasn't there a rumor for a little bit? And I'll jump in.
Go ahead.
Wasn't there like literally a rumor that the plot was going to be them going to find Donald and LeVar Burton?
That's what the fans always said it was going to be.
But that's not
reality. There was no plot. There was no plan through 2020 up until the pandemic. There was nothing written down. There was just us asking, and then the cast saying the only smart thing, which is, of course I want a movie. But the reality is there wasn't anything there.
Do you think that table read they did during the pandemic affected
Donald
at all?
Literally
in terms
everything.
Of,
hard
well,
guess.
Do you think well, that you, was part you of have, it? You have, they have about 6 hours that we saw. Or excuse me, I shouldn't say 6 hours. They have 4 hours that we saw approximately. So there's about 4 hours of them when you include the table read, the Q&A afterwards, and then the podcast episode afterward. Joel said they spent like more than half a day on those. They were recording them locally as well as everything else. So there's a ton of equipment. Everybody had to be sent. And Donald saying, they don't show Donald when he answers this. This is part of this, a bruder part of this whole problem. They don't show Donald saying yes, but everybody said Donald said yes. So, you know, from our perspective, Donald's been willing to do this because he not only enjoyed it, but he found out the rest of them had a text chain that he was excluded from. So, I mean, he had this kind of like, you better put me on the damn list. Yeah, he says that in the Q&A part, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they even have the time afterwards. And I'll tell you, arguably, the more important event that happened, the first one, is in 2019 at the 10-year anniversary. Because they're at Vulture Fest together, with the exception of Donald. And I'm never including Chevy, because Chevy was fired.
Yes.
And they reached an agreement during season 4. But they have that without Donald, but they go out to eat together afterwards, and Donald joins them. Allison has to leave early, and they have a blast. Every time you hear Ken talking about it, he was drunk off his butt the entire time.
I buy it.
So every time they bring it up, they're laughing about how drunk Ken was at it. So they have that kind of rekindles them. The table read, which is meant to raise money for the World Kitchen, is not some kind of something else. They did it for a specific economic purpose to help people out on the front lines. I think that's Joel or it's Jim who starts that. But they're starting that conversation of reconnecting in 2019. Donald is publicly with them again for the table read, and everybody says Donald says he's in. And from that moment, it starts. And then there's people calling. We know that year, after that happens, both Yvette and Allison get phone calls from Sony if they're interested in doing it. And they both say yes. Probably all of them got called. Joel said no, but Joel lies a lot when it comes to this stuff. So it's a safe thing for him to do, and it can be funny about it. But Joel's executive producer of this movie. Fully aware the entire time. He knows all the little details.
Not only does he lie a lot, but like I feel like he was probably faux executive producer for a good chunk of seasons 4, 5, and 6 because you don't get Dan back without Joel.
The Sony leaked emails prove that he did that. That was Sony does something to China. China leaks their emails, and it very clearly states that Joel was there fighting. And for
according to the press release, he is getting non-ghost. He's getting actual executive producer.
He's executive producer, he's in on that pitch meeting, so he knows good and well what's going on. He's not a third party. But then we have nothing through about 2020, and then you have all of this stuff that starts happening. They have their meeting at Vulture Fest. It's February of the next year where Allison Brie says she got a call, then that's the one that Yvette said something about. Then, the table read. And then Dan starts responding to people that ask him about Community all the time. He's like, it's in the works. Something, way too damn early. It's in the works. And then last summer, Dan said that the roadblocks of this happening were falling away. And what he was talking about is the economic barriers, the people who would not be there, talking about Donald, all those things were moving out of the way. And so he can start thinking about the idea of a story that is, fan service to some degree, because the movie existing will be fan service. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. That's all it needs to be fan service. But he also wanted to bring in new fans. So he wanted to have a story that worked for everybody. So he pushes this idea that not only we're looking to write a story, but we want to do something new that new people could be interested in. And we got nothing but crumbs until August or July and August. And then it starts coming out. Allison's promoting her Spin Me Around movie, talks about, she gets asked everywhere, she answers it. Danny Pudi's asked at Comic-Con, he said there are people working on it. Just the week before all this drops, Jim Rash, 5 days before it drops in the news, Jim Rash is being interviewed on a podcast, and he says that, Andrew Guest's football player. Jesus Christ. Andrew Guest is helping Dan write it. We hadn't heard that before. And I didn't hear the interview until the Friday right before it gets announced. And that's partly because we have so many fans. I get so many direct messages from people just like, hey, did you see this? Hey, did you see this?
You were blowing up like you've never blown up after that announcement hit on Friday.
We added 1,000 followers in 3 days.
Have a weekend.
I put my phone, I was telling my wife, I said I could pick up my phone and update all the notifications and turn Twitter off and put my phone down and count a minute and then pick it back up and open up Twitter. And I have 20 plus notifications again every minute for over 12 hours.
And so obviously the driving force behind that was the official announcement from Peacock that this is no longer just a long off fever dream. It is something that's actually happening. So I'd like to bring Brad in here. And Brad, I know you had pulled some of the points out of the press release that I shared on the really short and emergency version of this show I put out on Friday. But can you kind of check in with us and tell us what we do know about the movie in terms of what's been announced, kind of where we are with the crew and the cast and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. So they didn't tell us a bunch of stuff that like couldn't have been, assumed. They included the very basic details that they do whenever like a project like this is announced. But, like it was just recounted, Dan Harmon is working on the movie along with executive producer Andrew Guest, Sony Pictures Television and Universal Television. Are teaming up on it because this is going to be a movie that's on Peacock, which is NBC Universal's streaming service. But Sony Pictures Television is also producing it as well. They'll also be getting access to the entire Community series library. It won't be exclusive to Peacock. It'll obviously still be elsewhere, but they're going to be having it as well so people can catch up on it or rewatch it before the movie comes out. When it comes to the cast, so far, the only confirmed cast members are Joel McHale, Danny Pudi, Allison Brie, Gillian Jacobs, Jim Rash, and Ken Jeong. So no mention of Donald Glover, no mention of Yvette Nicole Brown, and as we shouldn't be surprised, but no mention of Chevy Chase.
And also, real quick, according to Joel's Twitter, his tweet, Gillian Anderson.
Right, exactly. Oh, right. Yeah, he did accidentally tag Gillian Anderson, but they had a fun exchange out of it, which is pretty enjoyable. So interestingly enough, Joel did tag Yvette and Donald Glover in his tweet, so I feel like if there is something going on with them, like he probably would know, and he could just be including them because they are, you know, the core cast. But I'm betting that they probably have at least something planned with Donald Glover. If he's not like a main part of it, then, you know, at least a cameo or something. And obviously, you know, Yvette Nicole Brown, since she didn't appear quite as much, you know, in the final season, it would stand to reason that maybe her part is also smaller in the movie as well. And, you know, it'd be interesting if they could incorporate that into the movie's story somehow. But so that's pretty much where we're at with what we know for sure about the movie.
Brad, I got a question for you. Because Dan know a good bit more about this than I do. The cast that's listed is literally just the full-time actors from season 6.
Mm-hmm.
Is that somewhat telling about who would be on the list? Because my argument has been, if Dan's made the argument that he needed everybody, then we're not here without Donald in some form. But not mentioning Donald now means you can have this exact same pop. You can have it again whenever Donald signs on.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a couple different scenarios that could be happening here. One is they could want to preserve Donald Glover being in the movie as a surprise. They don't want to tell anyone that he's in it yet, because obviously he left the show before it was over. And so, you know, letting everyone know he's coming back would give something away to the fans who may not be expecting him to come back because he left the show. He could also still be negotiating to be part of the cast, and that's why they couldn't include him in the official announcement, because they haven't closed the deal yet. Sometimes that's something that happens. They haven't finalized contracts for, you know, how much they're going to get paid and, you know, residuals and all that jazz. And so sometimes they don't make it before they want to have the press release out there. So that's also a possibility.
I want to throw this in there too, because there's also a possibility of when, and Brad may know a little bit about this as well, when they were first trying to bring back Arrested Development, it was another thing kind of like this where it went on for years and years and years and years. And the joke became that Mitchell Hurwitz started saying publicly in interviews that the only cast member they couldn't get was Michael Cera. What you find out years later is that that was a joke, and they were trying to do a bit literally to news things because Sarah wanted to do it the entire time. But then, like, news outlets started going after Sarah and being like, why don't you want to be a part of this, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, I am. We were literally doing a bit. Like, I was involved the whole time. So I also wouldn't put it past them to, like, he could already be signed on in some way, shape, or form. And then they're holding it either, like you said, to make another big splash, or personally, I would prefer not knowing. I would rather go in blind. I would rather be broadsided in the middle of Act Two, and then all of a sudden, there's Donald Glover. Like, that
there is no way they can pull that off. For me personally, based on, look, the extras are talking from previous episodes. There's no way that lid's going to stay on top of it. That's my only statement about. I just don't think that'll work. And I think ultimately, if look, this movie's not coming out in 2024. They mentioned the date is the year's, you know, it's 2009, and we're glad to bring this to the fans 15 years later.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2024. So if you're doing a movie, 14, 15 months at the earliest from now, the fact that you haven't completed a contract with Donald and you haven't completed a contract with Yvette is a great way to bring this back up multiple times next year.
But like we said, there's a chance it's already done. Like you even said going over the recap that Jim Rash kind of tipped the hat and said Andrew Guest was helping write it. So we don't even know how long that's been going on. There's a chance that all the ink has been dry for weeks or months. We don't know.
Yeah, and this could all be out there, just not public.
Exactly. And plus, you say that like it would be hard for them to keep a lid on it, but like, I mean, you know, Marvel Studios keeps lid on things all the time.
That was the reference I was going to make. Yeah,
there's a way to keep secrets even in this day and age. And you know, depending on how they're shooting the movie, how many extras scenes involved that may involve Donald Glover, they may not have to worry about that. You know, if it's scenes only involving the main cast, then they're not going to say anything, and that secret's not going to get out unless you have you know, somebody who decides to let a secret out from the crew. But usually in those situations, you've got NDAs across the board for anybody working on that movie. So if there's something that they want to keep secret, they'll keep it secret.
Okay, but I just want to put this out there. How, did you know that there were going to be three Spider-Mans before you saw the movie? Because I did.
Yes, of course. And like that's not to say, you know, that they can always keep secrets, but did you know that Brett Goldstein was going to play Hercules in the credit scene for Thor Love and Thunder?
Great point. Spoilers for Thor Love and
Thunder. Yeah, but you know, if that's all the Donald we get, we'll be kind of disappointed. But
Of course.
Point.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Brad, so, I did not know that. That's a great point.
Yeah, my guess from what I've seen is there was a pitch to Netflix, and the pitch to Netflix was Russo Brothers producing and Rob Schrab directing, and that didn't work. What I heard is Dan probably pissed them off in the pitch.
That sounds about
wait, what?
Dan, why would you do such a thing?
Not me.
Dan Harmon. Our Dan did not piss them off during the pitch, but probably Harmon did.
Probably. And the other thing, while we're talking about names involved, because that was the first thing. Someone's like, the Russos are going to come to direct. And I'm like, no.
They're not attached.
They're not involved. I literally, when the rumor first popped up, I sent a DM to McKenna because we've talked a couple of times on Twitter, and he hit me one back and he's like, that's awesome. I'm not involved.
Well, I mean, so on literally the last episode of our podcast on our feed, Jay Chandrasekhar sat down and said to the two of mm-hmm. you, that he would volunteer happily. The answer would be yes to direct the movie.
I suspect it's going to be Schraub, though.
That's what you're thinking.
That's Mike. Well, there's a uncommented upon Instagram post that Schraub did at the 1st of August when apparently all this stuff was going on. And it has a photo from Basic Lupine Urology, and that's all he posted. And it has a picture of the Russo Brothers chair, as a picture of his chair as director, and it's the floor.
You messaged me about that.
I sent you a message about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why in God's green earth is he doing this out of the blue?
Because
this was filmed in January, not August. It was filmed in January of that year.
We took a good 20, 30 minutes and we were like, yeah, but what's that iPod on the chair?
Yeah. We were just double checking that's what it was.
What generation is that?
Yeah, like how old is this right photo? Chair? Yeah, we were not a little obsessive. But Schraub did that the 1st of August, and so I suspect originally the Netflix pitch was with the Russo Brothers' EPs or Agbo producing.
I'm not going to lie. I'm happy it's not going to be a Netflix movie. I'm happy.
I mean, it being a Peacock movie isn't necessarily that much better. I don't know if you've seen some of the original movies that have been on Peacock. But
Hold on. I want to speak up and defend Psych here, but I'm going to let Dan make my case for me.
Sure.
That's all I've got. Dan, tell us, do we really have Psych to thank for getting us over the finish line? Do you think
I did kind of speculate that? So there was a few things like Matt was alluding to earlier. You did have the pandemic actually helped, like you said. You had the Paley Fest. Was it Paley Fest? Is that where they got together?
Vulture Fest.
So you had Vulture Fest where they all got together, but then obviously you get the pandemic in 2020. And what did help was the show coming finally to Netflix, to the biggest streamer there is, even though it was already on Hulu, even though it was already on Amazon Prime. And so I think one of the reasons I looked to Psych, they weren't necessarily a one-to-one overlap. Psych was originally broadcast on USA. It was an hour long. There were probably around the same amount of episodes, even though Community was a 22-minute sitcom and Psych was a 42-minute murder mystery comedy. They had a similar vibe. And the reason I say Psych is one of those ones to thank is because you have a similar vibe behind the scenes where all the creatives, all the cast, they're all still friendly with each other. They all still see the community, ironically using that word, around both of these properties, where you are seeing a quality product coming out after sometime X number of years. I'd have to look up exactly when the first Psych movie was, but they've done three now. They left it open-ended when the show ended because they kind of wrapped up. They got to a point. It was a satisfying conclusion, but they're like, we can do more with this. They got back together, did one movie. I'm not saying Community is going to do this because the whole rallying cry has been six seasons in a movie. I mean, knock on wood, maybe two
six
years,
seasons
three
in
years
a trilogy.
From now.
I'll take that.
Six seasons, yeah, six. Well, and
you guys need to reel it back in.
The joke I made. The joke
no.
I made was six seasons in a crossover.
You don't get to hear without having dreams.
Everyone's already
delusional dreams
within an hour of the original movie announcement. Sorry, Dan, go ahead.
It's okay. But that's just why I think it's it even if it's not a one-to-one comparison, they can, and that's why I think it's better that they're on Peacock, because they've done it. They've now rolled out three individual movies for a beloved television series that has a cult following, that had a demand that fans wanted to see a movie of. So it's not so much that it has to be the exact same thing down to every I and T dotted and crossed, but you strip it all away to a creative property that ran for several seasons. I think Community had six, you know, obviously getting rockier towards the end, but Psych had eight. Psych ran for eight seasons on USA, which that was one of the things that was unheard of at the time, like in the mid-aughts, getting a successful show to run that long. And so that's why I think the blueprint was there. And I think even if they were doing the pitch meeting, and I'm sure that's one of the things, like the pandemic helps, obviously all the viewing numbers go up, but they can walk into that pitch meeting and go, look, we know you're both either a Sony or an NBC Universal property. Psych has already done this. Like, we only need X number of dollars. Like, we might need more number of dollars to sign on Donald Glover, but like, it's there. The blueprint is there. All you need is everyone to sign the contracts and negotiate. So like, I'm not going to say it's solely like because of that, but I will say it couldn't have hurt.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was one of the first things that popped into my mind. So I think we've done a good job of kind of establishing where we're at and how we've got here. And before we get into speculating about what we think the plot of the movie may or may not be, Brad, I want to ask you a question about the success of the movie. And I think if you ask people from within the community, well, what will make this movie successful? You're almost always going to get a plot-driven answer, would be my guess. Mm. So I want to get your take first as someone who's a little bit more of an outsider. And what do you think it's going to take for this to end up having been a successful project?
Well, you know, I think one thing that's going to make it difficult to acknowledge whether or not it is actually a success is the fact that it's going to be a Peacock movie. You know, if this was going to be released in theaters, then we'd be able to gauge box office and things like that. But with Peacock, and really with any streamer, is there's only a certain level of information that you're given about how they track their viewers and whether it's in hours or how many millions of people watched and things like that. And it's not necessarily super forthcoming with how they count that information and what they acknowledge as people officially watching it, whether they actually watched, 45 minutes of, a given movie or 20 minutes of an episode. And if anyone actually watched it through to the end, they keep a lot of very specific analytics and things like that behind the scenes, but they always announce it when it's like, oh, the most people ever watched Netflix's, original movie.
You only hear the good news in the superlatives.
Yeah, exactly. And you might hear information later down the road if they have to come out and say, here's why we're not doing another Community movie or anything like that. So they'll celebrate it if it's successful. The best gauge in this case is going to be probably what fans think of it when it comes out, and then also what critics think when they get a chance to see it before it comes out, because they'll probably get screeners in advance so that the reviews will be out before the movie actually hits, presumably anyway. So that doesn't always happen with certain titles or releases, but I would wager that will probably happen with this, because they want to make sure it has as many eyes on it as possible. So yeah, so again, it's tough to see how successful it'll be with streaming. The fact that it's getting, made is probably a pretty good sign that A, they see enough engagement from fans out there and probably from the show streaming elsewhere that they want to do it. And so yeah, I think that's probably the best way to look at it right now.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, I think it'll be interesting too, especially because the show has always been so strong as far as word of mouth goes, and how they're measuring that now is something that even when it first came on 13 some odd years ago, it still had a strong social media presence and therefore a strong word of mouth. Because I remember Donald making a joke one time, might have been in one of the commentaries, where he said, he's like, history, you're making history online when something's trending without a hashtag. And to see a lot of those things from the show being trending even back then, it does bode well, at least initially, because if you're a lot of the things you were just mentioning, Brad, where you're talking about certain quantities that are not quantifiable by your normal yardstick of viewership, of monetary income for a particular movie. But what you are seeing is how many people are watching it, how many people are talking about it, how many people are reviewing it. And you see that with how many shows nowadays, like with the new Lord of the Rings and the new Game of Thrones. So it doesn't, I don't think it's impossible to, you already have a good base that you're going to be launching off of.
Yeah. And I think to even piggyback off that also, there's plenty of shows that have seen, you know, a resurgence sometimes multiple times because of their social media presence and how much, you know, mm-hmm. they stick around in the mind of people in pop culture across, you know, several generations. You have, you know, Family Guy was the first one to really do it. You know, Arrested Development came back as well. Futurama is in the midst of coming back for, like, I think a third time. Yeah. You know, yeah. So it's, you know, the community definitely feels like it's one of those shows that has an enduring fan base who has wanted to fulfill, you know, this prophecy of six seasons in a movie for a long time.
Now that this prophecy is definitely being fulfilled, I wanted to end with one of, if not the most fun question, and I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to take it one of two directions, and that is either A, what do you think the plot of the movie is going to be, or B, what is it that you want the plot of the movie to be? So you can go with either one of those as kind of a final thought on this deep dive here into our movie speculation. Brad, I'm going to let you start things off here. What do you think the plot of the movie is going to be, or what would you want the plot of the movie to be?
So I do like the idea that was out there among fans of having everybody look for Donald Glover. I think that looking for Troy would be a fun plot. And I especially think that in the wake of the new Star Wars trilogy, which kicked off by having everybody looking for Luke Skywalker, there's a lot of fun stuff to potentially play with there, you know, both from the how Dan Harmon likes to play with pop culture, and also with the idea of using it as a way to kind of provide commentary and spoof the idea of legacy sequels and, you know, bringing the cast back together after being gone for years and things like that. I think an interesting idea that I thought of, but I feel like it's probably a little too basic and not quite clever enough for somebody like Dan Harmon, is you have Abed as someone who is going off to work as a production assistant on a movie at the end of Community. And enough time has passed where he could have maybe, you know, made some headway in a career in Hollywood. So maybe he wants to get everybody together to make, you know, his own movie. And that the movie is about trying to make his movie, you know. And so there's,
that is so meta in the perfect Abed kind of way. Yeah.
Yeah. The cleverness, I think, of that would have to come from Harmon, because the idea itself isn't necessarily anything, you know, innovative. But I think if anyone were to do it and do it in a way that did it justice and had enough, you know, clever commentary and, you know, pop culture, you know, references and spoofing and things like that, it's somebody like Dan Harmon.
That is a very good one. Dan, what do you think?
I'm sure you saw me, like, I'm moving a little bit uncomfortably just because it's like, it's weird that, like, after all that conversation and after all this time, it's so much easier to speculate in a vacuum when you don't know and you have no idea what's going to happen. And it's like, no, this is going to be coming down the pipeline.
Now that we're starting to get some puzzle pieces.
But that's what's interesting to me and why I think I'd have a harder time pitching a plot either that I think was going to happen or that could happen, is because if you look back on the show, there are a couple things that it always did very successfully. Now, one of them is you were able to take a 22-minute long sitcom, and some of the episodes are more cinematic than movies I've seen over the past 10, 15 years. And you are executing that, you know, sometimes putting pages on the day, because we all know that's how Dan likes to write. And so this is going to be a little bit more locked down and he's not going to have as much wiggle room. But when you're thinking about something about, like, epidemiology and how you had a zombie movie crammed into a 22-minute episode, but the other thing that this show somehow always managed to do was be grounded and be emotionally centered. So the things I'm trying to wrap my head around is, like, because some of the things that you would have been able to do in a movie, they already kind of broached. Like, they broached at the beginning of season 5 with the repilot, like, kind of what all of these characters would be doing a year or two later. So I'm not saying that you can't do that now, but what I'm saying is, with that kind of idea in mind, they've already done that. And as far as we know, Dan Harmon's brain works. He probably won't do that again unless he thinks he can do it better. Unless somebody said, Dan, you can't do that better. And he'll go, oh yeah, watch this. And then somehow it winds up better. So
what I'm hearing is you want them to bring Pierce back, right? That's the plot that you're rooting for here.
I'm rooting for hologram Pierce. And if they bring, that would be my favorite. Like, if they bring him back, it's literally just that hologram from the repilot. It's the exact same thing.
They have to at least bring him back as a plot point. I don't know if we'll get a hologram or not.
You don't ever have to bring Chevy back. That is not an actual.
All right, well, Matt, bring us on home. Like, what do you think it should be then? What do you think it is going to be?
It's going to be all Hickey. That's going to be his entire pitch.
It will not. Hickey's dead. He's as dead as Chevy. He's as dead as Pierce. No, what I'd love to see would be Abed leaving a film production, and then he's clearly traveling in through the streets of Atlanta, and then he comes up to Teddy's mansion from the show Atlanta, and he opens the door, and there's Troy, and then they have some kind of conversation. Abed has to go get everybody together, and other than that, I don't particularly care what they do, because what they really do well is, even if the stakes are incredibly low, like being tricked into a glee club singing group,
or finding
having a small plastic car have sparks pop under it, or whatever.
I was going to say the misprint books that they're about to deal out, like books, their drugs.
Yeah, they treat like an actual drug deal. No, none of these things matter.
I know.
It's the story they can write, and the reactions they have to these events. Like, you know, they're playing paintball for, you know, priority status, or they're for $100,000, because they're going to give it all back to the school, mm-hmm. or they're just to, you know, stop somebody else from spreading paint. Those are great stories, but none of them ultimately matter except for their reaction to them. Like
the characters,
like Britta's response. He goes, I know the stakes are not that high, but it's actually made it more terrifying. And then you have, and the departed Richard Urban saying the line about, I've been in some real things, and this is definitely more terrifying.
What if that was the start? What if they started off at Leonard's funeral?
They could. Oh, wow. I mean, you just you don't have to have an important thing happen. You have to have an important reaction to it.
Definitely have an excuse for it.
Yeah,
for
and
them
so have, you know, we don't need to do Jeff's mortality again, because that was G.I. Jeff, but you can do anything in that category. And they're going to be fine, because all of those actors are insanely good at what they do. Yep. And Andrew Guest wrote 5 episodes of Community. One of them is Advanced D&D. The other one's one of the others is Fistful of Paintballs. Those are 2 of the highest rated episodes Community ever had. Yeah, A Fistful is 3rd on the IMDb ranking, for crying out loud, for all episodes of Community. So he's fully capable. He came in and fixed Hawkeye series. He's a excellent writer. So I believe
no shade there.
I have complete faith in Andrew Guest, not Andrew Luck, but definitely Andrew Guest to make this all work.
All right. Well, that's a nice, good, hopeful thought to hold on to.
Do you have any, Dave? Do you have any speculation, or do you have anything you want?
Oh, I am totally holding out. I can't blow mine here on this very first episode. You know, we're going to be talking about this pretty much every episode for the next at least year and a half, according to Matt's math, maybe
and
more.
And just to button it real quick, I think it was smart to go to Brad first, because he's an adult, and like we've been, at least the 3 of us have been like in the shit, for lack of a better
term.
We've been living in very, very deep culture, so new where it's just like, wait, this is really, who cares what we're getting?
Yeah.
We get to spend time with these characters again. Like, that's, who cares?
That's what Matt's reminding of us.
That's all I care about. Know. They could sit around. It could be like a 2-hour long version of the Duncan Principle, where they're all just sitting in a room.
The 3 of us have decided it's absolutely going to be great no matter what. So, Brad, before we let you go, is there anything else that you want to add to this conversation, or you think we missed or needs to be addressed about the Community movie?
You know, just from my professional standpoint, if there's one thing I'm excited for, it's that anytime there's an interview with someone from the cast or Dan Harmon, no one, you know, after the movie comes out, will be able to ask, so what's going on with the Community movie? It's like, you know, we'll get it. Yep, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, so like I was lucky enough, thankfully, I actually I talked to Dan Harmon not too long ago before the 6th season premiere of Rick and Morty. But he was teamed up with a couple other people during the interview one of the other executive producers from Rick and Morty. So I didn't feel the need to like venture and branch out and be like, you know, hey, what's going on with the Community movie? Because I'm sure someone else was going to do it. Someone else is always going to do it. Mm. And now the movie is coming out, I'm sure they'll probably get those questions even more now, because now people are going to be trying to get as many little extra tidbits as possible between now and when the movie comes out, or you know, when the first trailer comes out even. So, but I, you know, personally, as somebody who isn't as entrenched in Community as you guys are, but as somebody who enjoyed the show when it was on, when it was at its best in those early years, I'm very interested to see what Dan Harmon can come up with, because there is a lot of pressure on this. You know, no matter how much fans will be excited just to have the movie, turning a TV series into a movie is a tall order, especially one that does have, you know, a legacy like this and such a strong fan base who loves it so much. So, but again, you know, if there's anybody who knows what fans of his shows like and somebody who can do something that actually feels like it's worth doing, it's somebody like Dan Harmon. So I'm very much excited and curious to see how this all turns out.
It's literally been what the rally is, it Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, since season two. That's been the rallying cry.
It's season three episode where it's first mentioned.
It is first mentioned in Paradigms of Human Memory, which is season two.
It is season two. So that's, I'm glad you brought that up, Brad, because I wanted to mention that as well. Like, you talk about, and this is also, I'm so happy Dan Harmon is in a better place mentally, because that amount of pressure, you're not wrong. Yeah. It has to be overwhelming.
It's definitely exhausting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if there was a series that was going to fulfill the six seasons and a movie prophecy, I am honestly surprised that it ended up being Community and it wasn't Lost.
So they had to go get the dog again. That's not going to happen.
Have to go back.
Dan, Matt, any other final thoughts here before I let you guys go for this episode?
No, man. Thanks for letting me hang out. This was a lot of fun. I got to meet Brad and all of his various non de plumes. So this is my favorite subject. This is my hobby. So this has been great. Thanks, guys.
You're going to be very, very busy, my friend. Make sure you're hydrating and get lots of rest. Okay, Matt, thank you for joining us. Dan, any final thoughts?
No, I'm good. I know we're going to have a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. As more news comes out, we'll have more things to go over. So, no, I'm just, like I said, I think we're all still a little stunned and still just basking in the glow of the prophecy being fulfilled.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you guys being on, Brad. I cannot thank you enough. I know I've been asking you to come on the show for over a year. I can't believe when we finally committed, that's what did it. That's what made the movie announcement happen. It wasn't you finally agreed to come to Apartment 303 that this movie got made. So I just...
No, it's crazy. It really is. Yeah, because it's, you know, we talked about it, like you said, a year ago. And then I want to say it was like a month and a half ago, you called me again and were like, hey, we're really going to do this now. You know, sometime before the end of September or October.
For real this time, for real.
Yeah, and then I specifically told you, I was like, let's just do it October 3rd, Monday. And then last week, I was just like, oh my gosh, dude, I texted Dave Mita. I was like, hey, you might want to hold off on doing this podcast because it's real now.
There might be some absolute seismic news. So Brad, we cannot thank you enough for coming on the podcast and for single-handedly getting the Community movie made for
us. Yes, thank you, Brad.
Yeah, and if you want to stay up to date to the news, you know, daily, since you guys obviously don't do the podcast every day, you know, please check out slashfilm.com. We have lots of coverage about all sorts of movies and TV. Some people think that we just cover slasher movies, which is an understandable confusion, but it's slash film like a backslash, and it covers all film, all TV, you know, everything from you know, Community to documentaries to animated movies, comedies, sci-fi, all that nonsense. We have a great team of writers. Check out slashfilm.com, and yeah, there you go.
All right, thanks, Brad.